As it is written, behold, I am laying in Zion a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. Where's that from in the Bible? I didn't know either. I had to look it up. Isaiah. It's from the Isaiah that we already read. Paul quotes Isaiah chapter 28, verse 16. Peter also quotes this verse. And you remember, I just preached to you how Isaiah in chapter 28, verse 24 is also the only other place in Scripture where it says prepared beforehand. This plowing, this harrowing of the land. And so Paul has taken us and he's talking about the same thing we're talking about here. And could you and would you look at Isaiah chapter 28? And I'll read to you 8 verses from Isaiah 28. So when you're in Exodus, you go toward the middle. When you're in Romans, you go toward the middle. It really is very close to the middle. Isaiah chapter 28. So for mercy's sake, in a pew Bible, Isaiah 28 is on page 711. Okay? Isaiah chapter 28, starting at verse 16, which is the verse that Paul just quoted, and we'll finish at the place where we find this prepared beforehand. Here's what Isaiah says. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am the one who has laid a foundation stone in Zion, a stone, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone of a sure foundation. Whoever believes will not be in haste. The New Living Translation says, will never need be shaken. Because the wrath is going to be poured out in the world and shake it all. This is the Old Testament before Jesus was alive. Isaiah is the prophet who said, and we love it at Christmas time, right? Oh, a child shall be born. A virgin shall be with child, right? We love it at Christmas time. Isaiah says the gospel in verse 17 of chapter 28, I will make justice the line and righteousness the plumb line, and hail will sweep away the refuge of lies. Now, this is after the hail in Exodus chapter 9, which is Moses, right? Isaiah is during the kingdom period when you have King David and all his descendants trying to run the country, but running it into the ground because they're not seeking God, except for precious 4 out of all the kings. Isaiah says, I will make justice the line and righteousness the plumb line. Is anybody here who doesn't want God to be fair? Of course not. I want God to be fair, except if he's fair, I'm doomed. There's other worse people than me, but there's people better than me. Where do I want him to draw the line? Just after me. Well, not my kids. Just after my kids. Well, there's my Uncle Frank too. He's a pain in the neck, but he really means well. Not him either. How about God will have mercy on whomever he has mercy. None of your business. But good news, that includes you. That's all right, isn't it? Then, verse 18, your covenant with death will be annulled. You made a promise. You think you're going to bank? It's going to get ruined. Your agreement with Sheol, hell, will not stand. The grave, Sheol, will not stand. When the overwhelming scourge passes through, you will be beaten down by it. That's what they do with wheat, isn't it? They beat it down and then they shake it and they get the good stuff out. When it comes, it's coming for you too. When these plagues happen, initially they happen to everybody, and then God distinguished between one and the other. When this comes, as often as it passes through, verse 19, it will take you from morning by morning, it will pass through, and day by day, and by night, it will be sheer terror to understand the message. I'm going to read that whole sentence again. As often as it passes through, it will take you. For morning by morning, it will pass through, by day and by night, and it will be sheer terror to understand the message. For the bed is too short to stretch oneself on, and the covering is too narrow to wrap oneself in. Do you feel the world contracting? And all this great system that provided us so many things and groovy cell phones is shrinking. And we say words like redundancy. And we see words like monetary crisis. And we see words like, you know, military expansion as people who have less grab for more. Because this is happening. This is happening. The bed's too short to stretch out on. The covering's too narrow to wrap oneself in. For the Lord will rise up as on Mount Perazim, as in the valley of Gibeon, he will be roused to do his deed. Strange is his deed. And to work his work, alien is his work. The things that are going to happen are going to be freaky. Strange and alien. Not like what happens in the world normally. Now therefore, do not scoff, lest your bonds be made strong. Don't harden your heart. Pharaoh hardened his heart. Don't scoff, lest your heart be hardened. Your bonds be made strong. Your heart hardened. Trapped in your rebellion. Don't do it. Don't go there. I've heard a decree of destruction from the Lord God of hosts against the whole land, Isaiah said back then, and something did happen then, but we're telling you here today, it's the same story for the rebellious and turned against God. Give ear, Isaiah said, hear my voice, give attention, hear my speech. Does he who plows for sowing plow continually? Is it always going to be warning? Is it just always going to be plowing and plowing? Does he open and harrow his ground? He does. He prepares beforehand this message, your hearts to hear it, and this day in church. So as we read about this Pharaoh, who's foolishly set against God's people, and the judgment poured out on Egypt, and as we preach to you the coming judgment, and the wrath of God poured out against all sin in this present age, we preach to you the mercy of God. And the grace of God exhibited in all who would respond in faith. The people who got out of the way of the hail. The people who all through time had said, you know what? I'm thinking that God's God and he's talking some sense. And so here today, we'll point your attention to the cross. It's a metonym. It is a one tiny little symbol that points to the vastness of the great work God has done from beginning until the very end. And it's epitomized in a moment. That's the cross. It's the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world so that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. And that's the message. It's the same message. It's almost the same message every Sunday. I'm sorry, but this is exactly what God is doing. But we need to see how it comes. It oozes from every line of scripture. And heed the warning that God gives us about the coming day of the Lord. It will come just as hail came in the day of Egypt. God will save anyone who has it in their heart to listen. The message of today's sermon is old school, right? Flee the coming wrath. Get in out of the fields. The hail is coming. Judgment, like the plagues upon Egypt, is coming, but it's coming in this age in which we live. God is patient, but he warns us, and he will not hold back forever. Now, I don't know if it happens while I'm alive on the earth. I don't know if it happens to your poor grandchildren who will see it, but it could. But probably they thought the world was ending in 1967 when everyone's going to bomb Israel. And they thought, yeah, when everyone's set against Israel, that's when God returns. But it didn't happen then. And maybe we think it now. But you know what? Now seems intense. I'm young. I haven't seen much. Somebody here maybe, you know, heard stories of World War II from their parents. I don't know how much worse. But there is some weird, big thing brewing. Do you not see it? Do you look at the sky and the clouds coming over the hills and think it's going to rain? Do you not read the news and go, oh, what is happening? We've got to see that. We have it in the words of John the Baptist, mixed with another plow metaphor. And this is the finish of the sermon, okay? When he saw the Pharisees and the Sadducees coming to the baptism by the Jordan River, he said to them, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not presume to say to yourselves, oh, I went to church on Sunday. It doesn't say that. But it might as well, because here we are. What it does say is, don't say to yourself, we have Abraham as our father, as your religious attachment to the thing that you think is your legal fulfillment so that you ought to get. It's only faith. I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children of Abraham. It's only faith. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees, John the Baptist told these Hebrew teachers of religion. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the tree. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and gather the wheat into the barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire, says John the Baptist, the last and greatest prophet of the Old Testament, the first and greatest herald of the coming of Jesus Christ in the New Testament. Elijah, if you like, saying, make way the path of the Lord. Is it okay to have chaff? Must there be no wheat because I don't believe in chaff? I don't think it's fair that there be chaff. If you were going to make chaff and poor chaff be ruined, well, I'd rather there wasn't any wheat in the first place. Well, that sounds silly, doesn't it? But we say that. Fire and brimstone preaching, you might say, this morning. It'd probably be the first time in 7 years. But fire and brimstone preaching? Did you read about the lightning and the hailstorm when you read, right? Exodus chapter 9. There was like, and you thought, good, those Egyptians, those baddies, they're against the Hebrews. I like fire and brimstone. When it's someone else. When it's not my time, when it's a historic other time, can you imagine baseballs of ice falling from the skies, knocking out Dad in the fields and Bessie the cow, and ruin so that afterwards the people who did stay indoors came out and they were like, oh no, all the food is ruined. It's going to rot. It never matured. We're going to starve when it comes March. There's no food. Is that fair? Worse than that, what about this world where God says he'll pour out his wrath on the people who occupy the place of sin, who haven't chosen to follow him, who haven't been saved by his mercy, by believing what he said and deciding, yes, I do respond to that. Yes. What about that? That's what we're preaching here today. It seemed innocuous when it was Egypt and hail and the baddies. And then we look and we saw about this stuff in Romans. We thought, yeah, yeah. And then, but suddenly it's at our throats. And it's the people we love who we must pray for. Do you have an earnest desire to pray for someone as a result of this sermon? I hope so. Will you, when you're faced with your fear about being open about your Christian faith, talking to someone else who will be hostile about it, will you, by this sermon, be changed in your disposition about what you're willing to do for the sake of the gospel in the lives of other people who need to know because this is happening? Because that's why any sermon like this is preached, I think. I turn to God and I say, will I go and be that guy? Is it all right if I don't pound the pulpit? You know, because those guys always turn me off. But this is the message that you have. I do stand here prophetically, bolstered in my fear that I might be wrong by the fact that I'm mostly quoting scripture to you. But to say, the end is nigh. Can you imagine that? But there's no worries for everyone who trusts that Jesus Christ died for our sin and you will not be judged for it and there is salvation. And the only thing that'll stop you is pride and saying, who are you to say that I've sinned? That's not sin. I'll do what I want. Thank you. And that's what Pharaoh said. Who are you to say, let people go? I'll do what I want. Thanks very much. No, but they're God's people. It doesn't matter what God says. I'll do what I want. Scotland does that right now. We make laws. We say, it doesn't matter what God says. We'll do what we want. And the church says, it doesn't matter what the Bible says. We'll preach what we want and we'll still call ourselves Christian. And they won't preach what's in the word that's been preached to you this morning. Will not the judge of all the earth do right? It says in Genesis chapter 18, when Abraham's looking to God and saying, you're a good guy, God, come on. Is this world not set against his people on earth? Jew and Gentile alike, believers. Is the world not set against believers? The world is certainly set against believers. Would not any father discipline all of his children and treat each equally and fairly? Imagine if I had a favorite and he got away with anything, and you saw one of my kids like kick another kid and me not deal with him. Fraser, hey Fraser, discipline your kids. Right? Two kids sit next to each other, both of them kicking someone else. One of them's my kid, I'm going to deal with him first. Then I'm going to protect, I mean, probably I'll throw myself in front of a kid and say, both of you get away, and you, wait till we get home. This is the same thing that's happening in this world with God and people. Of course we want God to deal with that. Whether it be judgment or mercy, we want God to be fair. Everyone will have the consequence of their decisions, and everyone has the blessed deliverance that comes in Jesus Christ in the cross. Moses told Pharaoh what was coming tomorrow. It's a hailstorm. Pharaoh decided to listen or not. In John the Baptist's words, he said, "Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees, but there is deliverance. There's a distinction between the people of God and the enemies of God." So Lord, that is our prayer, that you would make that distinction between the enemies of God and your people. And we know that every enemy of yours has just been deceived and is fooled. And we know that you have made every reason clear, but you've sort of covered it so that it's not the person who in their self-interest would save their skin. Any smart person would make that choice. It's the person who loves you and who trusts your word and sees who you are and honors you as God, that somehow this secret is revealed to by your grace. It's not our doing and our being smart enough. It's your grace that's showing, so that any of us who sees, by your mercy, you've shown us that respond to it. And so we'll have to say thank you, and we'll pray for the people in our lives that the noise in their life would subside, or that the pressure of what's going to happen in the future would grow in their lives now, so that they can decide, Lord, in your mercy, save. And thank you for salvation. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.